Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a show full of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. And now here is your host, Nicola Beer, who specializes in a proven 10-step program to help couples increase their love, passion, and happiness in their marriage in 30 days or less, guaranteed.
Hi and welcome. This is Nicola Beer and I'm thrilled that you're here with me because I'm going to be talking to you today about intimacy differences, low desire versus high desire partners in relationships. Differences are an inevitable fact in any relationship. One very common difference is a difference in sexual desire. Low sexual desire, or low libido as it's often called, is actually very common for many men and women. They estimate that about 40% of women will experience this and 17% of men. And they estimate that the actual figures may be far, far higher than this. For men, however, it's a lot less talked about as there's a societal expectation that men must live up to. And that reputation is that they are always in the mood, no matter what. But in reality, that's just not true. Lots of men have a low sex drive for a lot of reasons, just like women have a low sex drive. And there's different factors to consider when looking at this. What sets humans apart from other reproductive species whose drive is purely biological is that as humans we have an emotional part to sex and we have a thinking aspect that we bring to intimacy, which can make it really extremely special as well as complex. So on the great side, it can be very special, the fact that we have such an emotional connection to intimacy and we think about intimacy. And it can also make it very complicated and affect the way that the biological and reproductive system actually functions. So what this means is, it means that if we only look at the biological, if we only look at the hormone levels, and we look at prescription medicines for solutions, then we actually miss out the whole lifestyle reasons, the psychological reasons, and the relationship factors that can influence a high libido and a low libido. Physical factors, in addition to hormones, that is known to affect libido, can be too little exercise and too much exercise, alcohol use, drug use. Psychological issues can include anxiety and stress from either the workplace or from home. And from home, it could be family pressure, it could be financial pressure. Depression has an impact on libido. And relationship problems or rows, if you're constantly arguing with each other, if there's no connection, if there's poor communication, if there's violence, if there's abuse, if there's hostility, then that can also impact the relationship. But it doesn't need to be all of those factors. It could just be one. It could just be you're having lots of arguments. And then a low libido can also be caused by past pain, past physical trauma, past sexual trauma. And this can be from past relationships, and it can also be from childhood. And you may be fine for years and years and years and years, and then it get awakened. And the reason behind this is that in our bodies, we store trauma. We store trauma from the past, and we store it in our cellular memories. It's now known that we store difficult times and great times in our memories, in our cells. Our cells hold our memories. Our memories are not only held now in the brain, but they're in every single part of our cells. And what happens during intimacy is we can awaken, because we are using our bodies, a trauma. So that's why, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of bursting into tears during intercourse, or feeling angry after, or feeling fearful, or feeling relieved. And there's different emotions that can be brought up during this physical act. And sometimes this can affect intimacy as well. And then there is the intimacy itself, which often some medical doctors can miss out completely. Intimacy issues can be fears of failing in bed, being bored with the intimacy, not feeling connected, a lack of depth, a lack of sharing during sex, where it becomes mechanical and routine. The good thing about the intimacy issues is that this can be changed with the right attitude and openness. If you're both open to learning new ways of interacting, if you're both open to exploring, if you're both open to work on this, then fantastic results can be achieved. And I help couples with that, and I really, really enjoy serving in this way. Before I'm going to share any tips with you, I just want you to consider this really great point. And I didn't think of it before, but when Dr. David Starch mentioned it, he's a clinical psychologist and a sex therapist and an expert on low libido and sexuality, I thought, wow, it's so true. And what he states is, he states that there will always be a high and low desire partner in every aspect of marriage. And he says, once we realize that and once we recognize that, then we can shift from thinking that there's a problem in the marriage. If one of you wants sex more than the other person, that is not a problem per se. It's inevitable and it's healthy. However, what we need to do then is we need to address it if it's causing problems. But to look at it as a problem from the outset is not going to help the relationship. The low desire partner and the high desire partner are just positions in a relationship that occur on virtually any issue and the decision in the relationship. There is always one person who wants to do something and the other person who either doesn't want to do it or wants to do it less. And so this high desire and low desire should be treated as a normal, healthy part of the relationship. And once we approach it in that way, then it's not like you're wrong and blaming. It's more of a case of, how do we fix this? How do we come closer together? What can we do to make it really, really great? And this applies whether we're talking about sex, having a clean house, saving money, spending time as a family, or affection. One will want it more than the other. And it is important to accept that neither position are about character or personality traits. They are just positions, which I hope will help you to become less defensive when you're discussing these issues. And if you're the person with the low desire, feeling less inadequate or somehow defective. Because I have women and men who come to me and they say they feel terrible that they don't have the desire, or terrible that for some reason their sex life is not how they want it to be, or they're not interested in it, and they feel very defective and can get very defensive, and where they feel that something is very wrong with them. And as I mentioned to you, actually a low desire is very common. And so how do we move forward? How does the couple move forward? Well, the couple move forward if they realize it becomes a problem in the relationship. Or the low desire person realizes that this isn't them and it's not how they want to live their life. It's not who they want to be in the relationship. And so that's when I offer suggestions and really help a couple to transform this. With high desire and low desire positions in the relationship, there is often always a power struggle. As by default, the person with the low desire is always in control, even if they don't want to be. The person with the high desire may feel controlled and become frustrated with the low desire person. And they may be annoyed that the low desire person holds all the power. And it's important to remember that even though the low desire person is holding the power, they often may not be wanting to control the other person. They may not even want this power. And often they could just be trying to control themselves, or just trying to be true to themselves, not that they want to control in any way. So what can you do if you want to change this dynamic, either about yourself, if you're listening and you have a low libido, or about the relationship? Well, there's no one way fits all. And when I work with couples on a one-to-one basis, online all through my programs, I really state this, and I try to give as many different solutions or as ways as possible where you can decide for yourselves. Obviously, I just want to say, first of all, that I'm not a medical doctor and I don't deal with any physical symptoms. So you may want to get help and check that out first. Men and women that I've helped with the low desire and high desire, it's often to do with the relationship. So they come to me and they say to me, they've either been to a doctor and they know it's not physical, or they come to me and they say, look, we want to explore the relationship side. I think it's got to do with the relationship. I think it's got to do with the intimacy. Or it could be other factors that I help them with outside of the relationship in terms of stress, anxiety, things like that. So here are some things to consider to change a low libido and increase the sexual desire in the relationship. Number one is to show affection outside of the bedroom to increase the connection and closeness. So many times I will hear women say to me that their husband only touches them when they want sex. And that really annoys them and frustrates them. And for a lot of women, they need a lot of affection to then feel connected to want to have sex. And it can be exactly the same for men as well. So this isn't just women. Men can feel that there's a lack of affection, there's a lack of kindness, there's criticism present, and how can they want to be intimate with someone that's criticizing them or is not showing them any affection? So it can work both ways. So that's number one. Number two is to clear any resentment and past hurt in the way. Every single time I work with a couple, I focus on clearing resentment and negativity. Because if resentment is present, then it's hard to be emotionally connected in sex. And as I mentioned to you, humans, we have an emotional and intellectual and thinking process around sex. It's not purely biological. Third is to stop the pattern of one person always initiating and the other one feeling pressured. Find an alternative way of approaching this. I have several different ways of approaching this. I don't have time to go into all of the details now of how to change this. But if one person keeps initiating, the other one feels pressured, they reject, then the other person feels that they don't want to ask again, and it just becomes into this vicious cycle. And often what can happen is it can really decrease self-esteem. So it's important to not continue a pattern that isn't working in your relationship, to get some support and to change it, or to work through it together and find different solutions. The next is actions to boost self-esteem, to feel good about yourself physically and emotionally. So what can you do that's going to make you feel better about yourself? This is really important. This can be a new look. This can be exercise, eating well, a beauty routine. I know men may not call it a beauty routine, but a routine to groom yourself. Let's call it a grooming routine, shall we? To make yourself feel better in that way. And then there's adding more variety to the way that you are intimately involved with one another. There are various different ways you can do that. Again, it's about what you're both comfortable with and pushing yourself a little bit further. So if we always stay in our comfort zone, there's no growth, there's no development, there's very little excitement. So if you want to have excitement in your relationship in this area, then you may have to go a little bit out of your comfort zone. And it's doing that together at a pace that you both feel happy with. Next is clearing any mental, emotional, or relationship or intimacy blocks. So this one is really intuitive. And what I mean by that is you will know. You will know if there's an intimacy block. You will know if there's an emotional block. You will know if there's a mental block towards your partner. And if there is, then you need to either work out how to figure that out and clear that for yourself, speak to or get support from a specialist to help you with that block, or find out what your partner needs to do to help you remove the block. When I work with couples and one of them has an intimacy block, often it is nothing that they're needing from the partner. Often it is something that their partner is unable to help them with, or it could ruin the relationship, it could harm the relationship if they bring up this block, and so we work on it individually to have a great relationship. Then there is looking after your health and body. It's really important to have a great sleep, to have a great diet, to avoid heavy alcohol, heavy sugar, heavy caffeine consumption before sex. That's definitely going to affect the sexual energy, the spiritual energy, as well as exercising creates energy. So if you've got a really low libido, then look at your energy. How is your energy? Are you having enough sleep? Are you exercising? Are you overindulging in something that's going to sap your energy? And then lastly is to make time for each other. Often couples will say to me that their sex life isn't how they want it to be, and then I realize that they're not actually spending hardly any alone time together. So there's no opportunity, and there's no opportunity for the actual bonding, for the relationship to be kept alive, for the affection, for the attention, for that closeness and connection. And we need to feel connected, most of us, to have great sex, to feel intimate and to want to be intimate. So putting time in your diary for great times to relax, to ensure you have enough quality time, to really, really connect and put your smartphones away. So I hope all of the above works well for shifting a low libido for you and balancing out a low sexual desire versus a high sexual desire in your relationship. I usually always combine this approach with various different intimacy strategies, as well as helping people to increase libido by using a hypnotherapy track, because I find hypnotherapy really powerful for changing lots of things in life, especially in relationships. So I use it for forgiveness, I use it for letting go of resentment, I use it for calming anxieties or insecurities, and I also use it for increasing sexual drive and sexual energy. So perhaps consider this as well, because this can create lasting change really, really quickly. And I tailor this to the individual. Normally they will come to me, we'll have a session, we'll discuss things, and then I'll create a hypnotherapy track specifically for them that they can listen to again and again. So you may want to Google or look at some hypnotherapy tracks, see if they fit you. If not, then work with a specialist and get one especially created for you that you can listen to time and time again. Because remember, there are always differences in relationships. Low sexual desire and high sexual desire. So it doesn't mean that your relationship is over. It doesn't mean that the attraction has gone. If you have a low libido, there's so many factors to that. So I hope that you realize that it's very common, and you may not know that it's very common, but trust me, it's very common. And to know that there's certain things you can do about it, and you can change this. It doesn't mean that your marriage is over, or that your love and your attraction it has gone forever. So lastly, I just want to say to be gentle with yourself, be gentle with each other. From my heart to yours, thank you so much for listening. I hope you found this useful. And if you did, or if you'd like some more support, then do join me. You can join me in my Marriage Secrets Masterclass, which is a 90-minute masterclass where I talk about how to have a great, more passionate relationship, how to bring back the excitement, the connection, and change the communication. So I'm going to put the link along with his show notes, as well as if you're really struggling in this area, it's a very sensitive area, or if you just want to bounce some ideas around, or if you'd like to find out about how I help couples with their intimacy, or to discuss the hypnotherapy sessions that I offer, then you can book a free consultation with me, and you can book that at Nicola, at my website, which is nicolabeer.com. You can contact me through there, or just go to SaveMyMarriageProgram.com/consult. And again, I'll put the link, so it's really easy for you. You can just sign up, book a time in my calendar, and we can discuss ways to really change this for you, not just for a couple of weeks, but for life. Thank you again. Take care.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free Save My Marriage consultation, please visit www.savemymarriageprogram.com/consult. And if you've enjoyed this episode, Nicola would really appreciate it if you could leave a rating and review on whatever app you're listening through, so the show stays visible, allowing more people to get the support they need to increase their love, passion, and happiness.